Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 7th of April, and I'm recording at 9:40 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, more weakness in stock markets, which probably doesn't surprise you given the big downward dynamic that we saw on the NASDAQ index on Friday, which I talked about at some length. And also the key day reversals. I think it was for the Dow and also the S&P 500 index that had occurred, which on Friday, which signaled that an upside failure and doused expectations of another step to the upside by many leveraged investors. Now, there are plenty of reasons for suspecting that we will be seeing over the next few months the 10% plus correction that I've been talking about in a number of earlier audios. And I think among them, first is a loss of form by the NASDAQ index. Now, a point that veteran subscribers will recognize that I've long mentioned is that in bull markets, usually the leaders lead in both directions. There'll inevitably be one sector that does particularly well. It'll probably be an important sector. It will definitely be an important sector. It doesn't mean that there isn't some other sector that might have a few companies in it that might marginally outperform it, but you get the point that you get an important sector that gets a big move, and it's usually technology because that's such an exciting field. And it tends to lead in both directions. And one of the reasons for that is because a lot of people will be playing it on a momentum move because it'll be more expensive than other sectors. And therefore, you'll have a number of traders who are actually involved in this short to medium term move, and they'll be astute observers of momentum characteristics. And clearly, following Friday's action on the NASDAQ, that has certainly lost upside momentum for at least the short term, and probably more likely the medium term. And among those factors that we can see today, if you have a look at the chart, and it did close lower, is that we have first, we've lost uptrend consistency. We began to see evidence of that back in January, but it was very, very tentative. But then we had a new high in March. Now we've seen a bigger correction, and I think you've got to go back to the middle of 2012 to find a correction of the size that the NASDAQ has now actually registered. And what you will also see on the charts, you'll see the prominence of the downward dynamics coming in, and you will also notice that you have a lower high and also a lower low that have been established in the last couple of months. Now, that's, of course, the beginning of a potential overall downward trend. Then there's the factor that we have, where we are entering a period of trading which is historically less bullish. I'm talking about the second and third quarters of the year. We're already in the beginning of the second quarter of the year. And statistically, on average, these considerably outperform the first quarter particularly, but also the fourth quarter of a trading year. So that's another factor. Then we can mention, I probably already mentioned Wall Street's somewhat higher valuations than other markets, but also the bubble-ish activity that we've seen in the NASDAQ index. It's nowhere near as serious as it was in 2000, but it doesn't have to be. That was extremely serious, but we certainly have seen some runaway valuations by the new tech companies, and a number of those have already seen corrections of 30% or more. Now, other factors to cite that can worry markets here, and I think they're I think we do need to pay attention to these factors, is that first, that Europe and the United States are caught up in the last thing that they actually wanted. They wanted a free run just to be able to revive their economies, but instead, they have the situation that's taken place between Russia and the Ukraine, and that is worrying a number of other Eastern European countries. And this means sanctions, as you've already seen. They're not really heavy sanctions at this stage, but they are quite likely to escalate somewhat, and that's a lose-lose in terms of the effects on economic GDP. And we've got Russia repeating some of the agitation now in eastern Ukraine that we had seen in Crimea before they moved in to rescue or free Russian citizens there. And so we have the same sort of situation. People are being shipped in, are involved in creating unrest in eastern Ukraine. And I think that Russia would certainly like to be able to annex a portion of the eastern coast of the Ukraine, not far from its pipelines, of course. And it would like to do that without a big troop movement, because the Russians know that that will bring more criticism, more sanctions, and the Russian economy is really quite weak. I think most forecasts are for 1% GDP growth this year at best. But it's a tense situation, and it's got to be a negative for stock markets that don't actually need that. So we have, I think, not a huge risk for stock markets. Of course, we've still got this tailwind of exceptionally low interest rates. But again, I'll repeat the point, we're way overdue for that 10% plus correction, and the leading NASDAQ is suggesting that there's a good chance that that's going to start. And I think investors will be a bit unnerved by the setback that we have seen in the NASDAQ, and it would take a very quick recovery. For instance, after the January sell-off, we saw a very quick recovery. Well, it would take a repeat of that, and I wouldn't bet on that happening, but that's what would be required, I think, to cause people to relax. Another factor, a very important point, you might have noticed the chart of the that I posted on Friday, which showed leverage in the U.S. stock market along with the S&P, and the leverage has exceeded levels that we saw in 2000 and also in 2007. At those two highs, it's probably the most bearish single chart that I've actually seen, and well worth taking a look at if you haven't already seen it. I posted it last Friday. Okay, so what happened in here today? Well, not all the Asian stock markets were open. Mainland China was closed, but Japan was down 1.69%. The Hang Seng was trading lightly, but it was down 0.6 of a percent, and there weren't many gainers in Asia among the markets that were open. But one that did push higher, 1.3%, was Indonesia, and that's been very, very firm here recently. But as I say, mostly lower. Then turning to the European stock market indices, these were all lower in here today, and many of the declines over 1%. The German DAX, for instance, down 1.9%. The Euro Stoxx 50, that was down 1.37%. UK down nearly 1.10%. 1.1%, and then going into the U.S. market, which was a little firmer prior to the opening, but then gave up that ground, sold off a bit, then rallied briefly before selling off again. Recovered a little bit towards the close, but we were still down 166, nearly 167 points on the Dow. That was 1.02%. The S&P was down 1.08%. That was 20 points lower for the S&P, taking it down to 1845. And the Nasdaq outperformed, if you'll accept that description, down 1.16%, so weaker still, but not by anywhere near as much as we had actually seen on Friday. Canada also lower, 0.85%, that decline. Brazil up over 2%. So that market is continuing to recover. Now, U.S. 10-year government bonds 2.695. So that's certainly not reflecting any overheating, but overheating is not the problem with the U.S. stock market. It's valuations at a time when growth is still really quite slow. I've mentioned already, but a point worth repeating, that the monetary policy is still extremely accommodative, and that's why I have been relaxed in terms of not expecting a bear market on Wall Street, which incidentally, just to repeat this point that I've just mentioned in other audios, I do not define that as a 20% decline. And indeed, if you look at many of the previously or recently high-flying tech shares, in the U.S., they're down. A number of them are down 30 to 40%. I don't regard that as a bear market. It's a correction, and I think that the monetary policy is sufficiently favorable, despite the QE tapering, and that's going to continue, I believe. I don't think that we will see a significant bear market. Rather, I think we'll get another buying opportunity, but not immediately. And I expect further weakness, again led by that NASDAQ index. Now, elsewhere, I mentioned that U.S. Those U.S. bonds, that 2.695% yield. So it's still within that 2 month plus trading range. And that's within the broader trading range, and certainly no threat to the 3% high that we had seen some months ago. And global government bond markets generally are easing. You have rates in Europe now that aren't that far above the among the not that far above the U.S. rates for some of the European Southern European countries. Now, in currencies, I see the dollar index is a little bit lower in here today. Currencies have generally been a little bit quiet, but we've got the euro slightly steadier at 1.3741, and a little uptick in sterling. As well, taking it up to 166, but again, overall relatively quiet. In commodity markets, we've got somewhat weaker precious metals. Now, platinum is down almost $25, and that has been a standout here recently. So that's a clear downward dynamic, and it's also mirrored by the platinum. So both palladium and platinum are down quite sharply, particularly the palladium. And silver is slightly lower. It's currently at $19.90, nearly 91 cents. And gold down a little over $6 to 1,295. 97 and change. Overall, I think silver and gold are cheap, and I wouldn't be surprised if to see them range sideways to higher. I'm talking in my book, of course. I've opened some short-term long trades in those two metals. Silver is well underwater. Gold is modestly profitable. Grains and beans, a little bit easier on the soybeans and the corn. Wheat is firmer here. That probably reflects some of the concern over the Ukraine, which is a major wheat exporter. Natural gas a little higher. Crude lower, but quiet here. We're at $100.68 for the WTI. And if I just look at a few of these other commodities, just to see what we actually see here, the Brent crude is down 69 cents. That's brought it back to just above the $106 level. And industrial metals, mostly a little bit easier in here as well. So, bear traders, profit takers, they seem to have the upper hand here as far as stock markets are concerned. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.